So I know that some of you have already heard me tell some version of this story, or you've seen pieces of it on Facebook because I can't help but show you cute pictures of Tobias in the snow. But Tara and I and Tobias were one of the many who were without power this past week. And what sort of happened afterwards, from Wednesday being completely gone and then Thursday being completely gone without power, is that we found ourselves chasing after the power, chasing it into a hotel room that then didn't have a working shower or internet or movies, forget the pool that we had promised our 2.5-year-old. So then we go home because the neighbor said that the power was back on, and we celebrated and put Tobias to bed, and then 10 minutes later, the power went out again. And so went this saga of irony, because when would I write my sermon on the myth of balance? When would I find the power to stop chasing the power? It was on Wednesday when I was shoveling the driveway that I heard myself reciting some of the lines that I could remember from Billy Collins, one of our recent poet laureates, and his poem, Shoveling Snow with Buddha. This is how it goes. In the usual iconography of the temple or the local walk, you would never see him doing such a thing, tossing dry snow over a mountain of his bare, round shoulder, his hair tied in a knot, a model of concentration. Sitting is more his speed, if that is the word you would use for what he does or does not do. Even the season is wrong for him. In all of his manifestations, is it not warm or humid slightly where he is? Is this not implied by his serene expression, that smile so wide it wraps itself around the waist of the universe? But here we are, working our way down the driveway, one shovel full at a time. We toss the light powder into the clear air. We feel the cold mist on our faces, and with every heave, we disappear and become lost to each other in these sudden clouds of our own making, these fountain bursts of snow. This is so much better than a sermon in church, I say out loud. But Buddha keeps on shoveling. This is the true religion, the religion of snow and sunlight and winter geese barking in the sky, I say. But he is too busy to hear me. He has thrown himself into shoveling snow as if it were the purpose of existence, as if the sign of a perfect life were a clear driveway you could back the car down easily and drive off into the vanities of the world with a broken heater fan and a song on the radio. All morning long, we work side by side, me with my commentary and he inside his generous pocket of silence. Until the hour is nearly noon and the snow is piled high all around us, then I hear him speak. After this, he asks, "Can we go inside and play cards?" "Certainly," I reply, "and I will heat some milk and bring cups of hot chocolate to the table while you shuffle the deck," and our boots stand dripping by the door. "Ah," says the Buddha, lifting his eyes and leaning for a moment on his shovel before he drives the thin blade again deep into the glittering white snow. Understanding, of course, the temporary state of our affairs, the rush of workers and helpers, however few or slow we may think they are, understanding how tempered it is for us compared to many in the world who are still without power, still in the midst of destruction, months on end, it has been, if nothing else, an uncomfortable few days for some of us during this early spring snow. I know I am not alone in having spent some of Wednesday and Thursday too watching while trees uprooted from the ground, And not always from the strength of wind gusts like just days before, but at least at our house from the weight of the snow. Snow that had balanced layer upon layer onto branches thin and thick. It was remarkable at first to watch the height of the snow grow and grow greater than the branch on which it found a home. Some beautiful extension of the tree, some illustration of power and holding in the face of all that forced itself upon the ceiling of tree and house and nest and car. But then you know what happened, of course. The eventual loud crack and the toppling. The long, slow fall to the ground, the reverberations throughout what still stood, if anything still stood. This is so much better than a sermon in a church, I say out loud. Before Robin left for sabbatical, she left a book for me with a sticky note on top. The book by Frank Bieler, who is an evangelical preacher and modern institution, is called The Myth of Balance. And Robin's sticky note placed on top, placed on my desk for me to receive when she left, said, "I thought this was pretty terrible." Thanks, Robin. Now, despite her warning, I've been carrying around that book with me for some time, for months now, thinking it would offer a good word to someone who often feels out of balance, and then who feels guilty for feeling out of balance, and who can feel overwhelmed by carrying around a book for months because there isn't time to do anything with a book other than carry it around. Look, I'm serious about this. I am your minister, and so many of you have come to me as if looking for absolution, yearning for an answer, eyes wide and hair a little tangled, chewing gum in that hair, dirty nails, children of all ages, of all sizes, hanging from your limbs, metaphorical and physical, bills dropping from the sky like a targeted, depressed cloud, and somehow always in the busy season at work. Am I right? And you have come to me looking to know where to find this mythical creature that is balance. The way to give everything of importance what it needs or wants. A way to at least give it some equal weight, deserved time, attention. That's what Tobias says that I do from here. What does mommy do at church? Blah, 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 blah. I know, Ellie. I'm going. Well, I'm here to tell you, my friends, we can cancel those meetings because it is a myth. Balance. It's not possible. This is one of the things that Bieler did give me in a book that is otherwise pretty terrible. Robin was right. And it's something that I've ached to hear at nights. He writes, "I never believed in mythical beasts as a kid. You wouldn't find me searching the woods for Bigfoot. You wouldn't find me searching the woods for Bigfoot or scanning the ocean for the Loch Ness Monster, despite all the clear evidence. However, for the last 2 decades, I have been in pursuit of perhaps the most famous mythical beast of all time." Bieler says, "You have most likely sought it yourself. Its attacks do not result in destruction and chaos. Instead, its deceit comes in the form of false promises. No one has ever seen it, but it keeps us all awake at night. It goes by many names, but this beast is known best of all by balance." I come to you today in total humanity. I am so that woman with gum in my hair. And bills flying at me like Hogwarts is delivering water bills. And with a child on my hip while I try to greet each of you in line, while you share with me your deepest griefs or your nervous questions, and we seek to find some place on our shared calendars that are already filled up to the brim. I am so that woman with want in her eyes who is determined to slay that beast, which is balance. And it has caused, at times, a feeling like I must conquer the world, conquer my work, my grief, conquer my child, my spouse, my spirit, my body. I want to be alone in this, but I'm going to guess that I'm in pretty worthy company. We are each one leg in the air as we thoughtlessly dare to walk through this world. We are a people who are constantly balancing, constantly one moment from falling down. On Wednesday, as I watched the branches break and the trees topple, this is what I thought of. How no natural thing can hold it all. No matter how beautiful the effort is, no matter how worthy the work is, there must be, by force or by choice, a letting go. There must be some laughter in an effort toward impossibility. There must be some naming, holding, forgiving, knowing that imbalance is the norm. So here's what I offer you today. Other than I hope some release in hearing that it is a myth, coming to you from ministers all over the country, friends and colleagues of mine who, when I asked what they needed to hear, offered these blessings of humanness, of reality, of an effort toward a kind of balance, a good word for your day, your week, or your weary heart. I hope that you can receive some of this for some part of whatever you hold today. For you who spoke harshly to a loved one and who cried about it later, for you whose past errors of omission or commission plague your evenings and your days, you are not alone. Your love is not ruined. You can ask for forgiveness and be forgiven. May you be released to try again. For you who feel guilty that you are not living up to your ideals, to your family, your friends, your work, or with yourself, for you who judge yourself by Facebook and Pinterest, Instagram and Twitter, full and true lives are not lived in limited characters or screenshots. Your life is not imperfect, however unprofessionally decorated. May you be released to claim your own standard of what is good and what is enough. For you who only has a wisp of thought left for yourself after a day full of others' needs, for you whose home will never be clean, may you be cared for tenderly. May you invite people over anyway. May you be released of the needs of others so as to feel your own heart's beat and the connection you crave. For you who wish to run away from it all, even for one day, even for one moment, for you whose habit of complaining has overridden your habit of appreciation for small things, may you find rest and support. May you choose to see beauty and goodness until it is a pattern for your heart and for your mind and your eyes. May be released from the stronghold of depletion. For you who believe all things, all people, all injustices, all opportunities must have all of you all the time. Sometimes some things win. Other times other things win. May you be released into the joy and deep breath that comes with doing one thing one at a time. And for all of us everywhere, whose lives are beholden to time and to change and to relationships and to wants. It is okay to protect your energy, to cancel a commitment, to not answer a call, to change your mind, to want to be alone, to take a day off, to do nothing, to speak up. It is okay to release. May we work our way down the driveway one shovelful at a time. It is said that T.S. Eliot loved to play Jenga while reciting his own poetry. So I leave you with his words today. At the still point of the turning world, neither flesh nor fleshless, neither from nor towards, at the still point, there the dance is, but neither arrest nor movement, and do not call it fixity where past and future are gathered, neither movement towards or from, neither ascent nor decline, except for the point, the still point. There would be no dance, and there is only the dance. Blessed be and amen.